We present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schrein. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Rates.
Thank you for joining us, but do please stay as I introduce the cast of My Music. John Amos and Frank Muir competing against Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Right, the first question goes to John Amos. John, here's an orchestral piece. What, please, is the keel row doing in this French setting?
Well, I think sometimes when you go to a foreign country, you hear a song and that epitomizes a certain thing about the country. Mm. And when Debussy came to England, he found it rather a melancholy place, foggy and wet and dank. Yeah. And he heard that song, the keel row. Yeah. And so when he came to write a piece called Gigue Triste,
from Image pour Orchestre.
It was a sort of portrait of England, and he shoved that tune in.
Mm. Actually, Verlaine wrote in London a poem which was set to the tune of the keel row, and Debussy would have known probably the poem with its musical background.
We learn something new every week.
Precisely. Frank, give me the wrong title and the right title, please, to this. An ending for one.
And I know a title, yes. I.e. the wrong one, which is Invitation to the Waltz.
Yes.
But it's not that, is it?
No, that's right.
It's Invitation to the Wine and Cheese.
It's too nicely. No? Yes, why don't you have a mark? Not Invitation to the Waltz, I'm assured, by all kinds of people, but Invitation to the Dance by Weber.
Weber.
Mrs. D.L. Rees of Brighton, as a very little girl, told her parents that she'd been dancing at the school to a tune called Imitation of a Horse. that's the same song. Ian, two people here singing together and singing gloriously too. Who, please, are they?
John gave me a beautiful visual clue as to which one of those people would be by imitating the little pipes of...
I was really giving it to a rather pretty girl in the front row, actually. Never mind.
Well, I saw it. At least that's if you want the names of the characters,
yes,
rather than the names of,
yes,
of the
characters.
Singers.
Do nicely, thank
yes.
you.
One is Papageno,
yes,
the bird catcher, and the other is Pamina.
That's right.
From the
by
magic
Tom,
flute,
Tom Krause and Lucia Pop.
Well, I wouldn't have got either of those. So that's...
This opera, may I just mention, illustrates the danger of telephoning advertisements into a newspaper. Someone representing the new opera group phoned in to the Sheffield Morning Telegraph an advertisement for Mozart's opera, The Magic Suit. And there it actually is, The Magic Suit. Dennis, here's part of a closing cadenza from rather an unusual concerto. Dennis, that comes from the Villa Lobos Harmonica Concerto. On the same LP, Tommy plays concertos by Benjamin and Arnold. Benjamin and Arnold who? And for that matter, Tommy who?
I thought the Who wrote Tommy.
That's a point, isn't it?
Well, if it's Tommy,
yeah.
I thought it would have been Larry Adler, but obviously it's the other one. It's Tommy Riley.
Yes, Tommy Riley.
Playing the harmonica.
Yes, actually, Larry Adler's the other one.
Yes, it's the other one. Well, yes,
Concertos by...
He wouldn't have it that way.
He wouldn't, no. Concertos by Benjamin and Arnold. Can you come up with
that? Well, I suppose that would be Arthur and Malcolm.
How about that, John?
Would it?
It would be, yes. Arthur Benjamin and Malcolm Arnold. Perfect marks to you. Mm-hmm. It was an old song, or I don't know, it might have been an old recitation, that went, a lady's name was mentioned in the mess. Load of ignominy that word mentioned carries. Ladies' names are constantly being mentioned in song titles. For example. They called her, gentleman in the front row grinning, what do they call her?
Louisiana.
Thank you, Louisiana. Yes, that's Louisiana. What they called her.
Where are you?
Wheezy. Wheezy Anna. John, cast your mind back and see if you can remember the name of the man that Gracie Fields was singing about on this record.
There was father and mother and sister Mary Ann all waiting to welcome.
Albert?
Oh, no, not Albert, no. Ah, the audience, please.
Fred Fanacapan.
Thank you.
Ah.
Well, we're waiting to welcome Fred Fanacapan, yes. Well, Frank got it, so you get the score for your side.
I get all the classical stuff, and you...
Yeah. You're losing that pretty girl in the front row.
Yes, you are. Her name's Fred Fanacapan. Yeah. Frank, your turn. Who was this girl?
Miss Coed.
Miss Coed. Yes.
Was that Betty?
Betty.
Betty Coed. Was that a new lyric applied to an old tune? Because it's such a sort of stirring march.
I don't know.
It seems impossible.
I don't think so. Rudy Valley, of course, made it famous, yes. Didn't he?
Betty Coed for the Lion's Man.
Yes, that's right. Ian, for you, a military gentleman.
She was shy and beautiful, and she was young and fair. Never had been kissed because her ma said to beware. Simply village maiden who would coyly pass you by. Till the sergeant came along and kissed her on the sly. There he was, full of charm, with his stripes upon his arm. Who is so fearless and brave and bold?
Who is Ian?
Skinner and Link.
Sergeant. Yes. Sung by, did you recognise?
Oh, yes, yes, because this is part of my youth. Albert Whelan.
Yes, well, you led me to this because it was you who mentioned the song on the other side. May we play just a little bit of Albert Whelan singing the song on the other side of that record?
Please.
Here it is.
Oh, never have a boss till you need one. You know what I mean. Never have a boss till you need one, cause it only makes you clean. Way out west on the prairie, that's where men are men. They never have a boss till they need one, and they don't even have one then.
A lovely song.
Very Queen Elizabeth I in sentiment.
Yes.
Isn't it Albert Whelan?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Stigabruda, yes.
You know the famous story when he came over to this country and got a job at the Coliseum in the variety...
Where did he come from? Poland?
Australia.
Australia.
Australia,
yeah.
Oswald Stoll, who was head of the Coliseum, said, you've got 6 minutes. And he said, but it takes me 3 minutes to do the routine to get on, and then to... because he had this cape and the white gloves and the cane and the top hat, and he said, it takes me 3 minutes to take them all off. And he said, 6 minutes is what you have. So the first night at the Coliseum, he came on. And he took 3 minutes, took off his gloves, his cape, his hat, and everything. That took 3 minutes. Then put another 3 minutes to put them all on again and went off to a storm of applause. And Oswald Stoll said, you win 15 minutes.
Yes. Right. Well, we're still on these names. Dennis, your military gentleman has a more elevated rank than the sergeant we just heard.
When we fought the Yankees and annihilation was near, who was there to lead the charge that took us safe to the rear? Why, it was...
Jubilation Tea Corn Pone.
You were right.
I was in the
You're right.
No, I'm sorry. I would have been. I'm not. I can't get up to where Stubby K gets up to.
Yes, that Jubilation Tea Corn.
Jubilation Tea Corn Pone from
like,
the Labner.
Yeah, like the Duke of Plaza Toro. He led his army from the rear.
He was the reason why the South lost.
That's right. A telling word or phrase is what the songwriter searches for. I thought we'd find out if he found a telling, memorable word or phrase. So these are phrases from songs. John, the drums rum-tumming everywhere. What is that from?
You're not rum-tumming in my memory.
Shall I give you the little the notes of the this the phrase? That's got it. Yes, it's the bars, I think, 15 and 16 of over there. Yeah. Frank, three birds for you. Let there be cuckoos, a lark, and a dove.
Aha. I can get that one.
You don't let know that one, John?
Yes, I know that one.
Oh, let John answer.
No, he'll cry all the way home.
No, it's taking cold to Newcastle.
Ah.
Let there be love.
Yes. If anybody happens to know that Nat Cole or Shearing rings on. Yeah, that's right.
Cuckoos.
The song that they're below. Ian, a question. Could its lovely hum be coming from my heart? There's a line for you.
I dare say it could, but I'm afraid that doesn't...
Shall I play it for
you? Yes, do.
It comes from
Touch of Grieg.
Yes. It comes from strange music from Song of Norway. Could its lovely hum be coming from your heart? Yeah, I don't think you got that.
No.
Right. Dennis, telegraph cables. I'll give you the notes.
Yes, telegraph cables.
Yes.
They sing down the highway and travel each bend in the road. Yeah, I would have taken the other word as epitomising that song. That's in the first line. A sycamore.
Yes.
Buried in a stream, falling leaves, a sycamore.
Yes.
That sits on the music, doesn't
it? Yes, it does, doesn't it? And the title?
Is Moonlight in Vermont.
Moonlight in Vermont. Right.
Follow the American poet and thinker in Concord. Couldn't stand music at all. And the only sort of music he liked was the wind whistling through telegraph wires. Thought that was appropriate.
Yes. Mm. When you said he didn't like music in Concord, I thought I don't like music in planes either.
You always introduce the music in planes.
Well, I used to. I don't anymore. Folks, it's piano medley time.
Oh.
Four tunes for John and Frank to name, another four for Ian and Dennis. And one or two of them go by rather quickly this time. Here we go. First one was only three notes long, John.
Appassionata Sonata, yes, Beethoven.
Ba-bom, yes, the Appassionata Sonata, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Number two?
Yes, number two.
Nature Boy?
Yes.
Where are you hiding?
It's like confusion. Title's right.
Massenet, Elegy.
Yes, Massenet, Elegy, and the...
Gollywog's Cakewalk.
Mm-hmm. You've got four, that's four half marks. Two. Dennis, you know the first of your group.
Shake Down the Stars.
Yes. Ian?
Well,
I wasn't quite sure where it came, but there was one from Fledermaus,
yes.
The Bruder Line.
Bruder Line, just yes.
I got that all right.
You like sisters as well in the title. Can we have sisters as well as brothers?
Oh, yes, brothers and...
Yes.
Brothers and sisters.
La-da-dee, la-da-dum. Right, yes, from the Fledermaus. Then...
Fly Me to the Moon.
Yeah, and finally, Dennis, you might... Well, you either of you.
No, actually, Ian.
I got that one. Let's all sing like the birdies
sing.
That's
all. That's tweet, 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 tweet. Full marks all round. Meet the Cambridge Buskers, two young Cambridge students with a lot of talent and a certain amount of musical cheek. John, here are the Cambridge Buskers playing a bourrée by Michael Pretorius. John, strictly speaking, a bourrée must be in a certain rhythm and start on a particular beat. Can you elucidate, please?
It begins on the third beat, doesn't it?
Yes, it starts on the third quarter of the bar,
yes.
Right? And it's in what sort of time?
About 8:30.
Yes.
Duple, triple, quadruple.
Oh, quadruple.
Well, duple, yeah, yes. Duple time, according to the book in which I looked it up, actually.
But that sounds more like Portora than Pretorius.
We'll give you that, though, because it's the right sort of multiple.
Yes.
Frank, this is not a bourrée, more of a march in
God.
A way. Again, it's the Cambridge Buskers. The question to you, who, please, does it bring to mind?
Webster Booth and Anne Ziegler.
Your case, yes.
Or
Laurel
and Hardy.
Yes, or your Auntie Mabel, who used to go and see their films. Indeed, anybody, yes, all right.
Did you know that the thin one always used to get double the money of the fat one?
Laurel.
Apparently he said, I'm twice as good as he is.
Well,
so he insisted on double the money.
No, he was the more inventive of the two, actually. I don't think he ever got to the point of saying he was twice as good.
Well.
He used to invent quite a lot of their routine.
I once met Oliver Hardy.
Gosh,
you ever met Hardy?
No.
Quite something that was, quite a bit. Instead, that was the tune used to introduce their films. But do you know the tune that immediately followed that in most of their films, their sound films? Can I just show you on the piano? We used to, you know, so on. And then they used to play... so on. I never knew what it was called. Ian, your turn for something easy. Again, the Cambridge Buskers. What, please, is this?
Yes, that's one of those marvellous things that you just can never call to mind.
Oh,
I mean,
timing.
I call the tune to mind, but not the title, yeah. I mean.
You don't know, do you? It's by...
I know it is, as well as Tum-ti-dum, but I don't know what it's called.
Yasha Heifetz really made it famous. Hora Staccato.
Oh, yes.
Did you make it the mark?
Dinicue.
Yes, Dinicue wrote it. Dennis, you've heard the Cambridge Buskers four times in the past couple of minutes, so you have a clear idea of what instruments they play. What instruments do they play?
Well, one of them's playing an accordion.
Yes, that's right.
And I'm not sure whether the other one's playing that thing that, what's his name, Zamfir plays, a sort of,
Not panpipes. Simpler than that.
Oh, really. Well, there's flute.
Yes. Flute. Yeah. Flute doubling piccolo.
Mm.
The question for all four of you to answer. Same question for everybody. When Verdi was asked, Maestro, what was your greatest achievement? What did he reply? Frank, John, you may perhaps know, or perhaps you can invent something. Maestro, what was your greatest achievement?
I think
it's
not a musical question, is it?
Well, it's musical because it's to do with Verdi.
Ah, yes. But, I mean, the answer isn't Rigoletto or Trovatore, which
no,
you
it
expect.
Isn't. No.
No, all right. Well, then I think I do know the answer. Do you want to tell you?
Well, I tell you what, you tell us afterwards.
Oh, that's right,
yes.
Frank.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Frank, what did Verdi say?
Why, is it a boring answer?
No, it's rather a nice answer, actually.
Verdi said, in all my operatic Korea, I've never got the birdie.
That'll do me. That'll do me. Ian, do you happen to know?
No. It's obviously one of those things that you wouldn't expect, like the day that he went up the Matterhorn on roller skates. or was so pleased that he hadn't become mentally warped by all those jokes at school about verdigris.
That's a lovely thought, actually. Speaking of somebody called Race, I know what school jokes can be like. Dennis, what do you think Verdi said? Maestro, what was your greatest achievement? And he replied...
So I got my stuff plugged 3 weeks running on my music.
Yes, up in the Elysian Fields.
What's John? A dull answer?
What do you think
he said? Very proud of two things. One was that he chose very good cattle at Cremona, the stock market. And the other thing was he built an old people's home, old musicians' home.
He replied, "Sir, my greatest achievement was the home for aged musicians which I built near Milan." And you've got two bonus marks, John.
The casa riposa. Yes.
Love is the subject of the party pieces which our singers offer this week. The Power of Love, A Love Affair as Fun, from Adam and Eve to Scarlet and Rhett. Love in the Parlour, and Love, thanks to Mozart, in the Seraglio. John, tell us about the Power of Love and give us an idea of where it comes from.
The Power of Love is a Danish folk song, and we don't always think very much of the Danish folk songs, but they are sometimes very beautiful. Mm. And this one was collected by Mr. Tang Strom and Mr. Percy Granger from Australia.
Why are you talking like that?
Why am I talking like that? Well, this is what I imagine is a sort of Danish accent.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes.
You got the point.
Right. Yes.
See, it's in English.
And the song goes... The trees, they grow so tall along the northern shore. From trunk to limb, to branch to leaf, they grow so high. The power of love is like a tree, so strong from top to root. And so is likewise true love and the heart's desire. In summertime, in summertime.
Nice words.
There's a wonderful setting of it, several settings by Percy Granger. Mm. One of them in a Danish folk suite.
Yes, the Power of Love.
Beautiful piece.
Right, I mentioned From Adam and Eve to Scarlet and Rhett, and if you know those old songs, you'll know that's Our Love Affair, which Frank is going to sing in, Frank, I think, E flat. Right.
Our love affair will be such fun, will be the envy of everyone. Those famous lovers, we'll make them forget. From Adam and Eve to Scarlet and Rhett, when youth has had its final fling, we'll spend our evenings remembering two happy people who'll say on the square, "Isn't ours a lovely love affair?"
I suppose people still have parlours. They just don't sing about them anymore. Dennis, she pushed me into the parlour.
Anybody who remembers this qualifies for that Verdi's Home for Aged Musicians. She pushed me into the parlour. No, just let me hear the tune.
She pushed you into Verdi's Home.
She pushed me into the parlour, pushed the parlour door, pushed herself upon my knee, pushed a kisser in front of me. She pushed me round to the jeweller near the hippodrome. She pushed me in front of the clergyman, and then she pushed me home.
Yeah. Whether you call the Mozart opera Il Seraglio or something even less pronounceable, it still includes a song absolutely tailor-made for Ian, When a Maiden Takes Your Fancy.
It's a very detached view, this, of course, of love affairs, because this is sung by the keeper of the harem.
You may think you've found a woman who'll be faithful all your life. You may smother her with kisses, nuptial joys and wedded blisses, sure that she's the perfect wife, sure that she's the perfect wife. Perfect wife. Tra-la-la-la, 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 tra-la-la-la. Most of all, you must be careful when the moon is shining bright, or she'll fall a victim handy to the first young passing dandy, and to virtue it's good night, and to virtue it's good night, it's good night. Tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la.
Some of those low notes destroyed all my preconceptions about the keeper of the harem.
I was only giving a character performance.
Never you mind or's mean, it was lovely. I've got a final score around here. A resounding victory. 4. John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.